Chapter 4.
The next morning, Heathcliff walked with me to the gate of Thrushcross Grange. From there, it was only 2 miles to the house, but I managed to get lost among the trees, and more than once I fell in the snow. When, finally, I reached the house, I was cold and wet. My housekeeper, Mrs. Dean, met me at the door and told me that dry clothes and a fire were awaiting me in my room. All that day, I stayed in my room alone, and I confess I felt rather lonely, even though I had deliberately chosen the place for its solitude. When Mrs. Dean brought me my supper, I asked her to keep me company while I ate it. I sincerely hoped that she was a talkative woman. "How long have you lived at Thrushcross Grange, Mrs. Dean?"
18 years, sir. I came when the mistress married."
"And why does your master not live here? It is a far grander house than Wuthering Heights."
"He does not like to spend money, sir. He's as rich as can be, but he never misses a chance to get richer still, even though he has no family to leave it to."
"He told me he had a son."
"His son is dead, sir. The young lady, Mrs. Heathcliff, is his widow."
"Where did she come from originally?" I asked.
"Why, here, sir. She is my late master's daughter. Her maiden name was Catherine Linton. I took care of her when she was a baby, poor thing."
I started at the name, but the next moment I realised that she could not be my ghostly Catherine.
"Yes, her father, Mr. Edgar Linton, lived here before you, sir. Heathcliff was married to Mr. Linton's sister. Then Cathy married her cousin, Heathcliff's son. Have you been to Wuthering Heights, sir?"
"Yes."
"Oh, how is she, sir? How is Cathy, if you don't mind me asking?"
"She looked well and very handsome, though not happy, I think."
"I am not surprised to hear it,"
said Mrs. Dean.
"And what did you think of the master?"
"He seems a rough fellow, Mrs. Dean. Am I right?"
"As rough as the edge of a saw and as hard as stone. It's best to avoid him, sir."
"Do you know anything of his history?"
"It's a cuckoo's history, sir,"
said Mrs. Dean.
"I know all about it, except where he was born, who were his parents, and how he got his money at first. Hareton has been cast out like the baby sparrow. Everyone except Hareton himself knows how he has been cheated."
"Well, Mrs. Dean, it is a most intriguing story. Will you sit with me for an hour and tell me all about it?"
"Certainly, sir. Just let me get my sewing. And I'll bring you some hot soup, sir. I think you have caught a chill."
It was true. My head felt very hot, and the rest of me felt cold. A few minutes later, she returned with her sewing and a steaming bowl of soup. She gave me the soup, then sat down to begin her sewing and her story.
"Before I came to live here,"
she said,
"I was almost always at Wuthering Heights. My mother had nursed Mr. Hindley Earnshaw, that's Hareton's father, and I had got used to playing with the children, Hindley and Cathy. One fine summer morning, Mr. Earnshaw, the old master, went off to Liverpool on business. After 3 days, he returned late in the evening, carrying something bundled up in his coat. Hindley and Cathy thought he had brought them presents, but when he opened the coat, we saw a dirty, ragged, black-haired child. The child was old enough to walk and talk, but when he spoke, it was in some strange language that no one could understand. Mr. Earnshaw said to his wife,
'We must take him as a gift from God, my dear, although he's dark enough to have come from the devil.'
Mrs. Earnshaw was furious. She wanted to throw the gypsy child, as she called him, out into the street. She asked her husband if he had gone mad. Mr. Earnshaw explained that he had found the child starving and homeless in the streets of Liverpool and had decided to take him home and care for him. Hindley and Cathy then asked about their presents, but they found that Hindley's present had been broken and Cathy's had been lost on the journey home. Hindley, who was 14, burst into tears. Cathy spat at the gypsy child because she had decided it was all his fault. But her father slapped her and told her she should have better manners. Mr. Earnshaw said that the gypsy child should sleep with the children. But Cathy and Hindley refused to sleep with him, so I left him on the stairs, hoping he would be gone by morning. In the morning, Mr. Earnshaw found him sleeping on the floor outside his bedroom door. They called him Heathcliff. It was the name of a son who had died in childhood, and he has used it ever since, both for Christian name and for surname. A short time after Heathcliff arrived, Mrs. Earnshaw fell ill and died. Mr. Earnshaw was left alone with the three children. Heathcliff and Miss Cathy became great friends, but Hindley hated him, and so did I. Hindley hit him, and I pinched him, but he never cried. Perhaps he was used to harsh treatment. Later, when I knew him better, I stopped hating Heathcliff, and so Hindley lost his only ally. Whenever Mr. Earnshaw found out that Hindley had been cruel to Heathcliff, he got very angry. He was very fond of Heathcliff and believed everything the boy said. To be fair, he did not say much, and it was usually the truth. Heathcliff was clearly Mr. Earnshaw's favourite. So from the very beginning, Heathcliff brought bad feeling into the house. Heathcliff knew the power he had over Mr. Earnshaw. By the time Mr. Earnshaw died, 2 years later, Hindley thought of his father as an oppressor and of Heathcliff as the usurper of his father's affection. He grew bitter thinking about these injuries. For example, I remember once Mr. Earnshaw bought two colts, one for each of the boys. Heathcliff took the handsomer colt, but soon it became lame. When Heathcliff discovered this, he said to Hindley,
"You must exchange horses with me. If you refuse, I will tell your father of the three beatings you gave me this week. I will show him my arm, which is black to the shoulder."
Hindley put out his tongue and hit Heathcliff.
"Go away, you dog!"
cried Hindley. He picked up an iron weight used to weigh potatoes and threatened to throw it at Heathcliff.
"Go on, throw it!"
said Heathcliff.
"And then I will tell him that you said you will throw me out of the house as soon as he dies. He will throw you out."
Hindley threw the weight and hit Heathcliff on the chest. Heathcliff fell down but then got up immediately, breathless and pale. Had I not prevented it, he would have gone to Mr. Earnshaw and shown him the mark on his chest.
"Take my colt then, gypsy!"
cried Hindley.
"And I pray that you fall off it and break your neck. Be damned, you beggarly interloper! You try to trick my father out of all he has, but I'll show him what you are, you devil!"
I had no trouble persuading Heathcliff to lay the blame of his bruises on the horse, so that Mr. Earnshaw would not be angry with Hindley. Indeed, he complained so seldom of Hindley's treatment that I really thought he was not vindictive. But I was completely wrong, as you will hear.